You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
Sometimes, I guess I'm talking about popular culture, we're chatting this and that, and then it's like, the philosophy question, and it's almost like I it's like, why the fuck you just asked that, you know? It's like, you know, we were talking like all normal, and so anyways, however you want to handle it, you know, the background for it is like I like to get into people, what people are creating, what they're into, all that type of thing, but also to get into some of the questions like, you know, why are we doing this? You know, what compels us to do it? And, you know, just to have a good conversation around that. I tend to post like Tuesday night or Wednesday. They've been regularly on Wednesdays. And, you know, people are listening to it. You know, there's the people who are listening to the guests in particular, which I'm sure that, you know, there'll be a lot of people want to hear what you have to say. But mm-hmm. there's also some regular listeners as well. And this will be, you know, the seventh episode. So it's still fairly new. But, you know, there's some people listening to it and downloading it. So, yeah, so that's the scoop. You got any questions, or you just want to?
No, I read over the questions ahead of time and I made a couple of notes for myself. No, man, I think I'm good to go.
All right. Let's
seems, this seems like it's going to be fun. So
yeah. Let's do it. I'll do the intro and we're going to roll. You listen to the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and this week we have a great guest, Sean Wynn, a member of the group Praetorians. He does a lot of work creating art, being around art, enjoying art, comic books, graphic novels, music, and hip-hop. And I can actually say that finally, this podcast is going to get into some conversation about hip hop, which is one of my great joys for a long time. Just wanted to welcome you, Sean Wynn.
Hey, Ken, thank you so much for having me, man. Like, I've been looking forward to this. I've always enjoyed chatting with you, and now I get to do it in the official capacity.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Our first question, which we tend to ask, is what were you like as a young human? What type of things were you interested in?
Oh, man. So I think, as you know, and maybe the listeners don't know, is I grew up in Chicago. And so in my Chicago days as a young man, believe it or not, man, I was kind of a loner. You know, I was raised by a single mom. My older brother is 7 years older than me. So as you can imagine, we did not like just hang out together a lot, you know. So I was kind of that kid who stayed in his room a lot and created his own world. Like, I've always been into action figures for some reason. So, you know, as a youngin', what you'd catch me doing is setting up battles in my room and just being in it a whole day.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, like any other kid, I still went outside and, like, you know, rode my bike and did shit like that. And always reading books, though. My mom's always brought me, like, some books, whether it be comics or, like, little prose novels. I think I read the Chronicles of Narnia series, like, four times when I was a kid. So I was just like, wow, you know, sucked into the adventure. And, you know, when I tell people this next part, they always laugh at me because they think it's weird, but outside of the, you know, the Sunday papers or the Sunday funnies or whatever, my first comic related anything that I owned was a compilation of Bloom County that my mom found in the thrift store.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think I got all the Reaganomics jokes, but I just enjoyed the Penguin and, you know, and then, you know, I watched a lot of TV. Most of it was, probably stuff I wasn't supposed to watch, like Cheers and Soap and Benny Hill, the Tonight Show. I think I was supposed to be asleep, but I wasn't. But yeah, I think I was a weird kid, but also a normal kid. I don't know, man.
Yeah, so like your own world. I think, you know, I remember growing up. I quickly realized the power of, like, for me, it was reading some science fiction when I was younger, you know, and War of the Worlds and all that type of thing. And I think there's people who are actually transported to, you know, whether it's in comics or in books, like, they're more sensitive to being transported to that world, and then you want to keep going back to it. And I think it's like that, the role of fantasy, you know, in participating in that. I definitely heard, you know, that in your answer. One of the most important questions I have to ask you, just my own selfish reasons, and what comics are you reading now?
Ooh, okay. Man, God, okay, so that's a tough question for me, man, because, like, well, okay, so to start, I still work in comics. So every Tuesday I'm over at Excalibur over on Hawthorne, and so I get to pick up all the new stuff. But I'll say lately I jumped on board the new Jonathan Hickman House of X and Powers of X series. Just because Hickman can, you know, he's pretty in depth when he comes to the superhero stuff, man. And I'm anxious to see what he's going to throw at us. I just finished Image's Little Bird. Still reading Black Panther. Exo Man of War. But I'll be totally honest, I'm biased as hell with Exo Man of War. Been buying it since the new iteration with Matt Kent because there's a character in the book named after me. which survived. So the character Wynn is actually me, and it happened after I interviewed Matt Kent a couple years ago, and we just hit it off. I'm also reading The Wildstorm, and then pretty much whenever I'm at a comic shop, if I can find anything by Jeff Lemire, anything by David Walker, anything, any art by Ibrahim Mustafa, any anthologies or historical adaptations, I'm probably going to buy it, especially if it's in hardcover. And then comics that I also buy for diversity's sake, and I'll explain that in a second, is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, any Miles Morales book, Spider-Gwen, Young Justice, Naomi, and, like, Ms. Marvel. Just because, like, and honestly, I'm a little behind on most of the series, but I want to see them keep making them so they get my money.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of things I've heard, just some rave reviews about the Hickman work, and then I'm a little behind on that myself, but I know a lot of people are excited about that, and I do share the with Jeff Lemire anything that he puts together. In fact, I saw somebody wearing a shirt that I thought was of Black Hammer in it. It actually wasn't, and I realized that, you know, there'd been some corruption in my brain where I was starting to see the characters in other places that they weren't, and then you know you're a bit infected. I ran into Craig Thompson's Ginseng Roots. I'm not sure if you've seen that yet, where he talks about growing up in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin being the biggest importer for some time of ginseng out to China, and in some of the rural areas in him growing up in Wisconsin and digging the ginseng roots and how long they take. I didn't know so much about ginseng, it's a fantastic story. A little bit tough to find. I've read the first issue. I got to see him at the IndieCon that was there in Portland, where our friend Ethan Slayton was also there as well. Yeah, they had some great stuff. They had some great stuff there. But in addition, one of the other things I wanted to pick your brain about was what type of music is interesting you now? And related to that, with you producing material with Praetorians, has there been a change as far as what you listen to or what you're connecting with?
Well, you know, to be honest, like, I think, like most people that are into music in general, man, there's no genre, there's no one genre that holds me. Like, my heart is always going to be with hip hop for sure. But like, if you are a real hip hop fan, like a true to the heart, what the culture is about hip hop fan, then you listen to everything. And I've always listened to everything. Cause like, I didn't even get into like to hip hop until like I became like a teenager. Cause before that I was listening to, like Chicago underground house. Cause like I grew up being surrounded by DJs actually. In fact, one of my mom's best friends is the world famous DJ Frankie Knuckles.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, the underground Chicago house scene was like kind of where I grew up at. And that's all I did for a while. And of course, well, we had disco in the house, rock, you know, classic rock. We even had some metal, folk music, whatever. If it was on vinyl, we had it playing in the house at some point. So, but what I'm doing now is as a hip hop enthusiast, I actually make it a point to study hip hop still, but not just American hip hop. So like every week I go through and I find, whether it be on YouTube, Spotify, whatever, whatever new hip hop songs I could find. But then I'll start looking for hip hop in other languages and other countries to see what has been adapted, what part they're at in the culture, if it's being represented properly. So that's like my passion there. But outside of that, like I'm still listening to, I wouldn't say I listen to a bunch of pop, even though like everything's categorized as pop. I don't even know who is these days, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, a prime example would be like, I listen to Kimbra a lot, right? And people will compare her to like Miley Cyrus or something like that. But I think she's completely different. I think she's got a little bit more soul to her, but still looking for new metal bands. Let me clarify that. Not new metal, just new.
Yeah,
new metal bands.
New.
Honestly, yeah, I'm looking for vocals. I'm looking for lyrical content. I don't care what it is, really. If you got something to say that's important to me, I'll snatch it up.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. I was thinking about this as I've had a kind of on and off connection to hip hop. And when I was listening, I was just thinking about this yesterday, that when I was, you know, 11, 12 years old, and it wasn't hip hop, it was rap music, right? And I grew up on the East Coast. And, you know, I remember scouring the bins, or maybe it was a local retailer, trying to find what is, you know, what would be released. And I'd buy a cassette and I'd buy everything that was released because it was so limited what you could find. I mean, you look in the soul section, you look in the R&B section. There wasn't a rap or hip hop. There was none of those sections. You kind of scour and look for it. And I remember buying everything that was there. Boogie Down Productions, early African Bambaataa. You know, EPMD, and of course, you know, some breakthrough with Run DMC, Beastie Boys, and that stuff from Def Jam. But after that, yeah, I got into a lot of metal and a lot of industrial. But the one theme that I've listened to throughout has been rap and hip hop. And now my son listens to a lot. And a lot of different styles of music, so he's kind of influencing me again. And it's great to have that kind of, if you forget about something, to be reintroduced to it. And and I've really appreciated both the aesthetic of your work with Praetorians, the sound, the intense rap, and the just the content in general. And I want to drill in and so when tell us who Praetorians is, who you are, and what you're trying to do with the group.
Okay. Well, first, thank you. Thank you for saying that. It is a project that's very passionate to me. So the Praetorians is actually something that came together from the creative juices of Mr. Keelan King. Now that's the leader of the Praetorians. He is if you've watched our video, he is the first one you see. Keelan and I had already worked together on a few of his previous projects. And pretty much leading up let me explain his previous projects first. So his previous projects were a lot of like sci-fi concept hip-hop albums, like hip-hop and R&B albums. Because Keelan and I are both nerds. Okay. That's not a secret. not a secret. But pretty much leading up to the last election, we realized that we were both pretty fueled with anger and needed to do something a bit different. Like I said, his previous projects were nerd influenced. We'd had like sci-fi joints, wrestling joints, not nerdcore per se, but hip hop made by like guys that like nerd shit. So with this time, we just felt like we really needed to let loose.
Yeah.
So when I say we too, I'm meaning a lot of my associates as well. We were facing like an old enemy in a new form at that time. And so we were like, hey, let's really bring it this time. And he said, hey, Sean, how would you feel about making some songs that describe the feeling of being at war and facing an enemy, regardless of like who your enemy is? And I said, hell yeah, I'm on board with that. Let's how we go about doing this. And so we just started like thinking of a master plan, you know. And I contacted my boy Damon back in Chicago, who I used to rap with back there, because I know that he has the same mindset as Keelan and I. You know, it's like, I know how he's feeling, this political climate. Right. He got lyrical skill. I hit him up in like 2 seconds. He was like, yeah, I'm in, son. What are we doing? Keelan came out with the master plan. He said, hey, we're going to do an album called War Music. I said, okay, what are we going to be called? And he was like, I feel like we are soldiers, and I don't want to pick any particular army. But we've been fans of the Praetorian Guard, but we didn't want to necessarily take or steal direct from history. So we switched it up a little bit. And now we are the Praetorians, an army that isn't from any particular time or place, but is fighting on the side of right. And that's just basically what we're about. So when we made War Music, we tried to make every song as if anybody could be this soldier that we are representing, that we are rapping as, facing whatever enemy you have, whether it be like, you know, the political climate or your shitty ass job, you know, whoever's opposing you from your beliefs or something you're trying to go after. That's what War Music, the album, is for. And that's why that was the whole base of the project there.
Yeah. And that's, I like as simple as and unapologetic as it is, and I really connect to that element of it, and of course the visuals with the music video, but it's obviously right there in what you hear. I want to play a track off that, Sean, to give folks a little bit of taste of it, and okay. The track off War Music is called Dead, and I'm just gonna play it, and we're gonna listen to get the feel of Praetorians.
Okay, let's do it.
We gon' kill you tonight. The butchers are here, turn your body into meat products. Our conglomerate is dominant, if I'm being honest. We use the body parts to beat bodies. That's how you don't do my spear when you're near it, but your army. We the best in this combat. And you can't clap back if you don't know where your arm's at. You see, our plan of attack was well made. You thought we was coming, but we've been here for days. Watching you, clocking you, traps at the ready. One wrong move, your whole party of spaghetti. Medley, next we coming up on the treasury. Make you eat jewels, pass food, and you're heavy. Take it to the lake, kick you off into the crevice. Make no mistake, they will document our presence. Residents will pray to the gods for our blessing. We shall oblige, taking eyes as a present.
We will end you. We will
pain and suffering. Touching you to sleep and bloody tucking you in. It's your turn to bleed no matter how much you bleed. Loot you and your crew too, courtesy of the greed. Unabridged animosity, complete with the atrocity. Sharp edges at right angles at high velocity. The world is ice cold, the flame hydrogen hot. Put you down on the spot in your new burial plot. You show up to do battle, you shook like a new rattle. No time for surrender, negotiators to prattle. We run through your ranks, around your flank. Swift death, thank us. You hide it, die anxious. We up in the intensity, decimating your infantry. Brilliantly eliminate military efficiency. After we divorce you from the rest of your force, we turn around and scorch, remain a bit of your corpse.
We will end you, leaving you covered.
Yes.
Well, yes. All right.
Yes. I tell you, I work in the, as you know, I work in for a labor union, and sometimes I feel the need, and I do have to lead the troops into battle. And I tell you, some of that music you got there answers the question for me, right? One of the questions I've asked guests is, you know, when you create an art, you feel compelled to create something in particular. You've answered that question. I've heard that, you know, some kind of like-minded folks, you feel in frustration, some need to express something, get out some aggressions and create that war music, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for sure, man, like, that was definitely the basis for that particular project, you know, but when I make other music too, like I'm still writing other lyrics that are just like about comic books, you know, and right. Stuff like that. But yeah, honestly,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
When you're, that was a particular, you're saying that this particular style and aesthetic that you're looking at with that. My next question has to do with, in describing yourself as a geek, and I would do that for myself as well. Do you feel that whatever you're working on, whether it's this or other projects, do you feel you're creating that art from the outside? Do you feel you're creating it within geek culture? Do you think that do you feel the outsider or the otherness is driving the art, or do you feel a different way?
You know, let me start by saying this. One, I've never actually felt like an outsider, you know, me personally, because even when I was younger, like I never felt like I was supposed to fit in anywhere. So I just didn't. And I didn't conform to a lot of other peeps were doing. And like, I'm not saying I did that because like I was dope or anything. I just wasn't paying attention, you know? But like with the culture now, like, I don't feel like it's outside of that. I mean, the definition of geek itself and what geek culture is has changed so much in like the last 5 years. So, you know, to be labeled a geek, I'm not even sure that I know what that is anymore. But is it just somebody who like loves pop culture? You know, is it somebody who like, because even nerd isn't the same thing. But at the same time, geek culture, in a way, it's been elevated to be quote unquote cool, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has been allowed to fit into it now. Like, hip hop has definitely made its way into geek culture. That's how you ended up with even a genre called nerdcore.
Right, right.
You know. So no, man, I don't feel like it's like at one point, yeah, it probably this would have been like on the outside of that. And I probably would have said, I probably would have had my own biases about even saying that, that I operate within it because of how it's viewed, I guess. But only on the hip hop aspect, not for me as a person. I don't really give a shit what people think, but like what would be accepted, you know, in a popular format of geek culture. But now I don't think it actually matters, man. Like, well, let me back up and let me clarify that because this is important to
sure,
me too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're a dude in geek culture. If you're a woman in geek culture, then you're gonna be questioned all day nonstop.
Tell us more about that.
You know, I've worked with a lot of women in this industry. I've been in the comics industry for 10 years, and let me tell you, man, the industry itself is not kind to people who are not dudes, and especially white male dudes. That's just the way it's been for decades. And so, like, women have had to fight to be recognized of the having the equivalent skills and creativity and so forth in that industry, just like everywhere else. And so with geek culture, like, you know, I'll put it like this. There ain't no term called fake geek boys, but there sure is one called fake geek girls.
Right. Yeah. So you find it to be more pervasive in the culture than the culture as a whole, or is just a reflection of, you know, what you see out there? Is it more aggressive internally to say within comics?
So it didn't originate in the culture itself. I mean, we're just like anything else, really. Like it's been a male dominated thing, like comic books and nerd stuff and gaming and D&D. Like it was supposed to be like the boys' thing to do, you know, where there was always ladies that were interested in this, but it wasn't. Like, they weren't allowed to be interested in it, or, like, it wasn't supposed to be talked about kind of thing, right? But here we are now that it's, like, now that it's such a bigger field, that ladies have been accepted to a point, and not just ladies. I mean, people of color, ladies, people of different genders, whatever, like you have it. The geek culture is so huge now and it covers a lot of bases if you let it. But there's still a big faction out there who do not want that at all because they had this perception that it was only for them and they just try to keep it that way.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the things we've been talking about, I'll say that some of the particular the objects, what I would say is the artistic objects, whether they be those, you know, the comic books, the graphic novels, the fantastic art that we see, the incredible storytelling and the combination of both words and pictures to tell stories, these hip hop tracks, you know, I would quite simply say, I mean, these are many of these are wonderful pieces of art, but for many that begs the question, and it's also been a huge battle for acceptance within comic books, or they call funny books, or you know those type of things. you know, which is, you know, they were thrown out, right? So they didn't have value. Moms threw out comic books, and so
yeah, they did.
They seem to be not have value. They're certainly seen not to be art. So, Sean, what is art? I'm going to call many of these things we've been talking about artistic objects and art. You're an artist yourself. You consume art. You enjoy art. What is art?
Man, you know, I'm going to say art is you, man. Art is anything created with the purpose to express oneself or to present an idea that you feel is not in the public eye sometimes. I mean, so... This is the type of question that can get elitist and snobbish if answered by the wrong person. Cause some people will say, like, you know, it's not art unless you've put your blood and, you know, it's sweat into it, and you know, you're dyed for your art kind of thing. And honestly, and art can be as simple as you made a one panel cartoon that just says butts, but it means something to you, you know. And honestly, with all the people in the world, it's going to mean something to somebody else who spies at least once. You could, that little stupid piece can change somebody's life, you know. And so, to me, art is whatever somebody took the time to create and was willing to present.
Yeah, I'm going to really connect to that point around the time where I was starting more explicitly to try to create things. It was really a reaction or an adaptation of just needing to express things. So it was always, for me, a highly personal component to it. And I think the way you're describing it, as a highly personal component, and also the ability for it to transform, to save. I've talked in other interviews about when people hear a song, sometimes people, that song saved me. That's a powerful yeah. statement, right? Or that comic yeah. book where, you know, that character that helped people, even within popular culture, like Spider-Man, right? The kind of awkward teenage superhero, that whole narrative, which is a very true narrative of what Marvel did way back then, where people said, wow, this superhero kind of feels like me sitting in, you know, chemistry class. And I believe there's tremendous power within that. I've seen some books that express, you know, your art can save you, or the art that saves your life, or even with politics and political art, you know, like, this is the way I need to express who I am. And I really think that's an important component to it. And the highly personal part of both the creator, and probably I heard you say the person who receives it as well, right? The one person it speaks yep. to, or a million people it speaks to. Would you agree?
Indeed. I mean, think about this too, Ken. Like, think about all the works of fiction that are out there or that have existed where you'll have some sort of like powerful regime who is trying to take control of any environment, right? What's one of the first things they take away from the people?
Exactly.
The art.
Yeah.
Because it inspires people to stand up for what they believe in, to break out of their shells, to just do, so maybe sometimes do the things they wouldn't normally do. Like, I mean, shit, I can think of at least, and I know you can, at least 3 to 4 hip hop songs off the top of my head. And when you hear it in your headphones, you walk down the street differently.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying.
It takes a nation of millions to hold us back. I listened to that. I would lock myself in my bedroom. I never heard anything like it. I didn't know if what was being said should be said. I didn't know if I was doing something wrong. It was that radical. It was that powerful and radical. And yeah, you walk differently, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, oh, gosh, just the other day I was listening to, you know that band, The Heavy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been listening to them a lot lately, too, and they just have such a groovy sound. I had no idea that I was, like, dancing at work.
There you go. There you go. You
know, I had, yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm surrounded by people right now.
And you're co-workers will comment on this podcast whether they appreciated your efforts or not, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll chime in.
big question here, Sean. Why is there something rather than nothing? And you can answer that in artistic way. I mean, one of the ways folks have listened to the question, heard it, was, you know, when you're creating something, I mean, is that something, you know, completely new? Did it come from nothing? Or just in general, in creating something, why are we doing it? Why is there something rather than nothing?
Man, you know, so honestly, I say, what the hell does nothing get you? I mean, I'd rather have something that's a failure than having done nothing at all. I'd rather it like have put out something or release something that is just like, even if it's trash, than nothing, because like I can't live with what ifs, man. I can't do my life that way. And there's something, because people have to release, and whether it's like me where I'm making hip hop or doing all the other stuff I'm doing, like you got to put out some content. I don't care if it's a Crayola picture or if you're just like doing bead work or something. Somebody has some sort of vice that they put out, and it's something. Because doing nothing, I think I imagine to make somebody go bananas, man.
I think it can make you go bananas, and I think it happens to a lot of folks. I really connect to how you answer that and how you look at it. Sean, I know you're up to a bunch of different things. You're busy working on some new project. I want to open it up. Can you tell the listeners about where to find some of the stuff you've created, what's coming up? This is your space right now. Yeah.
Well, okay. So the current Praetorians music that is available actually on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, wherever, man. And not just the Praetorian stuff, but anything that Keelan King has done before. Because I'm featured on some of his previous albums. They were called Star Pilot. And if you like sci-fi, you need to listen to those, because that is straight up a 3-album project of him being a star pilot traveling through space fighting aliens and rapping and singing about it.
I'm on the ship. Go ahead.
Right? So yeah, you can find that stuff like listen on any music thing. One of the other things I do to release, I think a lot of people know this about me, but some don't. But I also make custom action figures, because like I said, I've always been a toy dude. And so when I'm feeling creative juices and I'm like not really in lyric writing mode, I'll break out a box of action figures. And next thing I know, I've made like a new character, or I've made some toy that they're not making. Especially for diversity's sake, I tend to make like a lot of female characters or people of color, or whatever, because the big toy companies just aren't making enough for me right now. I don't know if this falls in under creative lines, but you know that I've been in comics for like 10 years. I was working at, Tifa and Dark Horse. About a year and a half ago, I parted ways with them to branch out on my own. So like, I started a marketing consulting firm called Strange Solutions Marketing, and where we offer advice and marketing service to popular culture businesses. I mean, that's my wheelhouse, and I know business, so I combined the two, and we've been operating ever since.
Yeah,
and that's a release for me too.
Yeah, I like that, and I like the title too. I think a lot of time in life, I've looked to strange solutions to solve complicated and pernicious problems. I'm glad.
Yeah, our whole stance is really like because there's a ton of marketing companies out there too. And those companies will give you the synergy talk and the statistics and all that. Not that we don't do that, but at the same time, I might think a little bit out of the box, because I've been on the ground, in this, especially in nerd culture, to see how things actually work. So I'm trying to offer that perspective. And, people can find Strange Solutions on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, because we're at every comic convention. We're at all the nerd book signings and all that stuff. So.
Sean, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you and also to catch up with you. I mean, it's a good excuse for us to have a scheduled phone call at the very least. But the ability to learn about more what you're working on and the things that you've done, I've appreciated you. I've appreciated the work and the art that you created, and I really hope that a lot of the listeners really connect to that as well, because it's really been a pleasure and a joy to know you, but also to have that extra layer of enjoying the things that you create. I just wanted to thank you, Sean.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for having me on here, because, like, I don't know if I ever told you, but, like, when I was working at the comic shop, you were always, like, a highlight to, like, when I see you walk through the door, because I was like, oh, great, I'm about to have a good-ass conversation. You know, because, like, you've always been genuine and legit, and I felt like we connected in a lot of ways. And with that in mind, I wanted to give you, before we go, a couple of artists that I want you to check out.
Absolutely.
And if you're not already listening, you need to listen to Odyssey. That's Odyssee. Young, pretty new-ish dope MC, though. I think you'll like him. Rhapsody, if you're not listening to her. But let me tell you, she's right up your alley, Ken, because she just dropped a new album this week, right? Under Ninth, she's produced by Ninth Wonder. She's got a new song with D'Angelo and GZA. Right,
yeah,
and she's got another song with Queen Latifah,
the Queen. All right,
right, yeah. So check out Rhapsody, Odyssey, and then there's a new Little Brother album just dropped this week too. So that's your three.
Thank you so much. I mean, even at the end of our time here, I get some nice gifts at the end, and maybe that's my intent all along.
I know what you're after.
Thanks so much, Sean. Hope to talk to you again soon, and it's been a great pleasure. It's been a great
Likewise.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care now.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing.